Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
I think they're overall very beneficial things that we're discussing as a result of food additives and colorings. We're in a unique position where we don't have to make changes and respond to those things because we've done a lot of that already.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. The U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis reports that the food ag industry contributes roughly $1.5 trillion to the U.S. GDP. That's what in 2023. That's a 5.5% share. It's a market that continues to evolve, and it's one that we're going to dig deeper in today with our guest, a guy who has spent a tremendous amount of time in food manufacturing. We're going to take a peek behind the curtain and what is going on in food manufacturing. Welcome, Jason Cashman, CEO of Weaver Popcorn Manufacturing. Jason, welcome to Ag Bioscience.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
It's going to be a long, winding discussion here because this is a giant industry. I think understanding all of us have a connection to food. All of us eat ideally three times a day. Before we dig into Weaver Popcorn, your view of what's happening, we have to understand the market. Give us a feel for what's happening right now in the food manufacturing market. What are you seeing that's driving growth?
I think there's a couple forces impacting the food manufacturing market right now, really as it impacts the end consumers. We came off of a couple of years, 2021, early into 22, of some really steep cost inflation on the input side. As a result of that, prices got really high. I think consumers tolerated that for a couple of years. We started to see some easing finally in 23 and 24 of costs that allowed us to take some pricing down. But it seems like it's ramping back up and we're getting to the point there's just some slowness, at least across the snack food sector, as all prices are going up and we have some uncertainty around costs and tariff situations and manufacturers trying to adjust for that to keep costs down. I think there's some tightening of the belt and some rationalization of spending in food. And as a result, I think most of our industry peers would say that it's a little more sluggish than we thought it'd be this time of year.
The turbulence that you see on a finished product side, so Weaver selling kernels, selling finished product of popcorn, really interesting position here. As you look at this macro market, you're both a commodity and a finished good. Same trends apply to both commodity and finished goods right now?
I think so. We don't have as much exposure on the commodity sales side relative to our portfolio. But I think just as a result, at least domestically, of finished good production and consumption being a little bit lower, it's naturally going to affect the commodity side. It could be a little more insulated because of other usages besides just finished good consumption, but I think everybody's feeling the same thing right now.
When you look at Weaver Popcorn Manufacturing, a pretty broad group from production all the way to finished good, give us a little bit of background. What's in the portfolio and how has the company evolved?
The company's been around since 1927, so we're coming up on our 100-year anniversary. It really kind of started as a traditional commodity business, selling popcorn kernels to consumers, to other users of it. And over the years, that grew into hybrid seed development and production. It grew into full finished goods, microwave popcorn, ready to eat, kernels, really anything that touches popcorn, Weaver did. And up until about 2019, we were all kind of one big happy family. In 2019, the more ag side of the business, hybrid seed development and commodity growth in sales was split from finished good manufacturing, all still under the Weaver name, but just two distinct entities because we really operated in different segments of the market. So today, where we sit on the manufacturing side, we grow all our own popcorn, we store, process it, but it's all converted into finished goods that are going into grocery. So as I mentioned, we do a lot of microwave popcorn. That's probably our core product. Ready to eat, both mainly private label right now. Microwave is under national brands and private label. And then a lot of stuff for the concession industry. Really anywhere in the U.S. that consumers can buy or eat popcorn, we're touching that commerce in some form.
when you look at the brands. I don't know what you can share, but for those that you can share, so folks know that's a Weaver kernel, what are some of the brands that we'd find you under?
That is one area where we have, with our national brand customers and even our private label customers in particular, we have some pretty tight restrictions over actual names we can share. I would say in some form or fashion, any of the national brands on the ready-to-eat microwave side, as well as a larger share of grocery private label, if you're buying any popcorn in a grocery store, there's a relatively high probability that at some form, from the seed to the finished product, it came into contact with Weaver popcorn.
What a fun organization to lead. I mean, connected to so many people across the country, around the globe. You look back at that 2019 split, and looking back over the last 5 years, 6 years now, I guess, any big trends you can identify of what's driving growth or what has driven growth?
Yeah, during different times over that 5 years, there's been some distinctive growth drivers. During COVID, when everyone was at home, spending a lot more time at home and eating at home, it reintroduced consumers to the microwave popcorn product, which probably 10 years before that, there was a lot of innovation and quality improvements in microwave popcorn. And so during that time when people were naturally consuming more at home, they were reintroduced to it, and really probably it was a very different product than what they remember it as a decade before that. So that did drive some growth in the microwave industry that's been sustained. Ready-to-eat popcorn, brands like Skinny Pop, Smart Food, Angie's, it's been on a tear for about a decade and a half up to that time. Just really high-quality product in the market, great brands, great marketing, and consumers really bought that at a pretty high rate. Over the last, you also had the lull in concession-related products during COVID.
Oh,
there
sure.
weren't, movie theaters weren't open, ball games weren't happening with the same number of spectators. That has really bounced back, really starting in middle of 22 strongly. Usually in recessionary times or tough economic times, popcorn tends to outperform its snack food competitors because from a cost standpoint, it's still extremely inexpensive relative to other snacks. At the same time, if you think about the popcorn itself, it has a really strong kind of halo of health around it. Now, if you throw a bunch of oil and salt on it, that can right. change the dynamic a little bit. But it's a relatively high fiber grain. It's naturally non-GMO, gluten-free. So a lot of the trends in terms of just the base popcorn commodity, it checks a lot of those boxes for consumers maybe looking for a healthier snack relative to other things that are out there. So I think there were a lot of different combinations depending on the segment of what was driving growth. But I think just at the end of the day, a really high quality product with good value is always going to perform.
Performance, and what does the future of this food economy look like? We're going to dig into it next. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
From berries to dairies, from crop advisors to data analyzers, Indiana Farm Bureau is at the forefront of the top issues impacting Indiana agriculture. No matter your role in the ag industry, Indiana Farm Bureau membership means you'll always have a champion and an advisor. And because so much of your time is focused on your own enterprise, it's also good to know Indiana Farm Bureau is always working to fight for the future of agriculture. We come together to advocate for rural viability, the protection of property rights, competitive tax policies, and against burdensome regulations. Whether our members need a door opened, an impact in public policy, or an ally to strengthen their communities, Indiana Farm Bureau is there. We are the unified voice for all agriculture. To learn more about the benefits of Indiana Farm Bureau membership, go to infb.org.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, talking with Jason Cashman, CEO of Weaver Popcorn Manufacturing. Jason, this is not your first rodeo in food manufacturing. You have led food manufacturing companies. You've been a private equity investor in food companies. As you look at this market broadly, not just popcorn, but this food market, take us back over the last decade, decade and a half that you've been in and out of this economy. What's changed?
On the business side, from what I've seen in the segments I participated in, I think you still have quite a bit of entrepreneurial spirit when it comes to people launching food brands. If you've heard of Dots Pretzels,
sure.
It's a great example. When that company was started, they started it out of their home. No one would have thought the world needed another pretzel, but they brought something unique and interesting and grew that to a $1 billion business on a product that already largely existed and was relatively saturated. So you do still have some of those entrepreneurs bringing new products, new ideas to market. I think that has become much more difficult over the last 10 or 15 years for the startup food company to prosper. The Sweets and Snacks show was here in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago, and you see a lot of that great innovation, and there's a lot of small companies out there doing it. I think it's just tougher for them to be here 5 or 10 years down the road or build something. It's tougher to get into grocery stores, I think, than it was 10 or 15 years ago. There's a little less regional buying and, you know, unique sets in there. The big companies tend to see some of that innovation and snap those guys up, and then they're able to blow the distribution out. So I think that's one of the biggest changes I saw in the segments we've produced in. The other thing, from a trend standpoint, consumers are always looking for things that are better for you, healthier. So the types of ingredients that are used, particularly in snack food, you've seen more ancient grains, quinoa, amaranth being introduced versus just the historical potato starches, tapioca starches, things like that. It's still snack food. It's an indulgence at the end of the day. But if you can feel a little bit better about some of those ingredients and the nutritional profiles, those brands are seemingly outperforming the others, or those categories rather. I think on the manufacturing side, automation has been a big change overall. Certainly, as finding highly technical operators with high degrees of technical skills has become more and more difficult for manufacturers, automation has played a key role. It also just helps with product consistency and quality when it's dosed the same way, manufactured the same way every time. I think looking forward, one of the biggest long-term struggles is how do we recruit, train, and retain enough talented and skilled people within the company? Because we're having to do more training ourselves versus hiring already trained folks to help make the product.
One area that's been interesting to get to know you and get to know the company is vertical integration. You talked early on about, you know, we're growing our popcorn and we're sending out a finished good in some cases on the other end of the production system. Is vertical integration in food becoming more popular? Is that an area that we should keep an eye out for?
It's a good question. Within our category or industry, we don't see it as much on maybe the ingredient and front end side. Part of the reason we're successful in vertically integrating on the growing side is we have multi-decade relationships with growers that know how to grow popcorn, some third, fourth generation growers that work with us. It's something that can't be created overnight. It's a real close-knit community that we've worked with for a long time. In terms of some of our production processes, I think that I've seen personally companies gravitate more towards that. During COVID, there was a lot of supply chain disruption on the backside of that, just trying to get things in timely, cost efficiently, and reliably. There were other parts in our history where we experienced that same thing, where we make our own bags for microwave popcorn production. That was a result of just supply chain disruption in the early 2000s. I've seen companies gravitate more towards that type of integration when the supply chain became so seized that they just couldn't produce. They had to look for alternatives, and that's a good long-term approach, if it makes sense.
Risk management 101. Remove the variable that you can remove.
Yeah.
One of the areas that I think has become a real focus, certainly over the last 6 months, is the focus on health. You mentioned early on and some of the trends that you're seeing macro, but we can't talk about food today without talking about policy, federal policy, more moves around making America healthy. How are you seeing, as the CEO of a food manufacturing company, how are you seeing, none of them are changes yet. They're ideas for changes or contemplated policy. How is that affecting you?
For us specifically, some of these changes that are being discussed right now really won't affect us because they're changes that the Weaver family decided to make a long time ago, well before it becomes policy. It's one thing they have always tried to get ahead of is do the right thing before you're mandated to do the right thing. So whether it's removing trans fats, certain kind of coatings off the bags, artificial colors and flavors, it's been years and years, and in some case decades, since any of those things were in our products. Sometimes that's just a result of the customers that we deal with that want a very high quality product, clean label product. The market pushes that on us. Sometimes it is a result of we can see where the industry and the market is going, and we want to get ahead of that. So I think they're overall very beneficial things that we're discussing as a result of food additives and colorings. We're in a unique position where we don't have to make changes and respond to those things, because we've done a lot of that already.
We could spend a lot of time talking about that evolution, because I do think we're going to see ripple effects across the food system. We have time for one more question, Jason. And this is one where I always love this because I have no idea where it's going to go. Is give us some insight. What's next for Weaver Popcorn Manufacturing? What are you thinking about the future?
Most practically, what's next for us is we're on the front end of starting a capital project to add ready-to-eat production to our Van Buren, Indiana facility. That is something that we've been working on for quite some time to really grow our presence on the ready-to-eat side. Very highly automated, high-quality production, some good wage, high-paying jobs that'll come with that as well. So that's really exciting for us. It's a space we were in the past, and we're really looking forward to getting back into that again. Additionally, most of our business is domestic, but there's a lot of popcorn consumed outside the U.S. and growing at a faster rate as well. So we're really spending some time strategizing and looking into how we can use the manufacturing base and the vertical integration we have in the U.S. and take that finished product to other markets. But, you know, aside from that, we have done the same thing very well for a long time. And, you know, a lot of our strategy and a lot of what we look for is just, it's really a 3 yards in a cloud of dust approach. Just keep your head down, service the customers well, make good quality product. And, you know, if we do those things, you make it through the market ups and downs and the macro changes that can happen from time to time. So we really want to stay focused on popcorn long term and do it better than anybody else. There's not a lot of secrets, innovation, things like that from a product perspective. Keep making what people really love to eat, and that's what we're continuing to focus on.
Power focus. I love it. He's Jason Cashman, CEO of Weaver Popcorn Manufacturing. Jason, thanks for joining us on Ag Bioscience.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And while you're online, check us out at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier. Thanks for saying thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.